This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about open borders, unending immigration. The governor of West Virginia is here to talk about diet. Let's hope he's not going to be annoying about it. Tudor Dixon, all that and more coming up on I'm Right. Oh my gosh, what a day. Obviously, I know what the headlines all are right now. Everybody's talking about tariffs and everything else under the sun. And just a heads up, we are going to get to tariffs with John Carney here in just a little bit on I'm Right Tonight. But I wanted to address something that I've been seeing and something we have to keep at the front of our minds at all times. The mass importation of foreigners. What is the purpose of it? And what do we have to do about it? Not an option. What do we have to do about it? First, understand that this is not unique to America. Maybe that makes you feel better. Maybe it makes you feel worse. Virtually all the leaders of Western civilization now, they hate their countries. They're only in it for money and power. And they realize the patriotic citizen of their country, whether you're in America or Canada or UK, wherever, the patriotic citizen is the biggest threat to the evil people who want to destroy the country. You are the biggest threat to the people who run the United States of America. So what do they do about that? Well, they have to find a way to replace you. We live in a representative republic. If they don't represent you, in fact, if they hate you, they have to figure out a way to get some new voters in here, a new support base. And so that's the reason country after country after country has imported foreigners as fast as the law and the people will allow them to do so. What we saw in the United States of America under Joe Biden is one of the most evil things, if not the most evil thing, ever done by the United States government in any form. The Joe Biden government opened up the borders of this country on purpose and brought in as many people as they could. They were so desperate to bring in as many as they could, they created an app for foreigners to invade the country. Legal, illegal, they brought them in as fast as possible. 20 million is the estimate. And again, because these are evil demons, they didn't care if they were rapists, murderers, thieves, and of course so many of them were. They were only interested in power and burning down America. And you know what else they were not interested in? They were not interested in the law, the Constitution, any of those other things. They have no regard for those things at all. They're only interested in doing evil deeds for money and power. And they did it. They harmed this country in ways that may be irreparable, which brings us to the Trump administration. They've announced record lows at the border. That's a good thing. They've also announced after a couple months, two, 3 months, 100,000 people have been deported. That's good. It's not near enough, but it's good. Which brings us to how do we handle this? Because, of course, I know what you're probably already thinking. Well, it would be more if it wasn't for these judges and all these things. And we have judges like this Judge Boasberg. Trump administration loads 250 animals on a plane and sends them to El Salvador. We're talking the worst of the worst, the face tattoos, the murders, the everything. Judge steps up and says, no, bring them back to America. I want them here. Bring them back to America. So what do we do? Well, we have to get them out. We have to get them out. And notice I didn't qualify that with anything. Notice I didn't say we have to do everything possible under the law to get them out. No. We have to get them out. I'll use this analogy for you because we on the right, we love rules. We love the law. We love the Constitution. And I'm glad you do. The Constitution is wonderful. And it is wonderful to be a lawful country where people follow the law. So I'll use this example. Let's say my boys are older now, but let's say they're little, real little, 5, 6 years old, okay? And because they're boys, they're meatheads, so they're not allowed to play with knives and scissors because they're just going to hurt somebody, most likely themselves, with it. And let's say I tell them, don't touch the fire extinguisher, ever. We have this big fire extinguisher right there. You are not allowed to touch the fire extinguisher because I'm worried about them hurting themselves or each other with it. Let's say I'm at work. Maybe mom is out back watering the garden or something. No one's inside. And a raging fire starts in the kitchen. Six-year-old's looking at that fire extinguisher. Do I want him to grab it and use it? Or do I want him to follow the law, the rules? Well, okay, that begs the question, what was the point of the rule? The point of the rule was to ensure that everybody was safe. It was to ensure the betterment of the people who live in my home. That was the point of the rule. The rule didn't exist for fun. It didn't exist just to be a rule. The rule had a purpose. Well, if one political party is intent on bringing in as many barbarians into the country as humanly possible, then no matter what, the other political party must get them all out. Every man, woman, and child, they must all go the second the other political party takes over. Because here's what absolutely, positively will not work, and we don't have a country. I don't care about your arguments otherwise. We do not have a country. If Democrats get elected and do, well, exactly what Joe Biden said he was going to do.
And so we're trying to make it easier for people to get here. Opening up the capacity to get here.
Trying to make it easier for people to get here. He said during the debate, there's going to be a rush at the border. Rush the border. He told them to do it. They did it. They flooded the border. So Democrats get elected, and because now the modern Democrat Party is full of evil communists, they're just going to bring in as many people as possible with no regard to laws. Remember, they didn't care about the law. The Biden administration sued so they didn't have to build the border wall. And after Trump won the election, the Biden administration took the border wall materials and sold it off so the wall couldn't be built. They have no regard for the law at all. Just destroy, destroy, destroy as fast as humanly possible. So that's what they did. And now if we take over, then we start to twiddle our thumbs. Naval gaze? Oh, we need to deport 20 million people. But hold on one second. If you actually look at Article 3, Section 5, and if you study the Supreme Court case, Apple versus Johnson, that Supreme Court precedent actually says by the letter of the then we're finished. We're finished. We can't survive as a country that way. We cannot survive as a country that way if they are going to burn it down as fast as possible. And every time we have a chance to put the fire out, well, sorry, Dad told me I couldn't touch the fire extinguisher. Those are the rules. I want to be a rule follower. It doesn't work. And rest assured, every single Democrat in this country, from the House to the Senate, state legislature, city council, there hasn't been an inch of daylight between any of them on this issue. They want the border open. They want the barbarians here, as many as they can get here. And once they get them here, they will fight tooth and nail to keep them here. Here's Jamie Raskin.
Here is one person of many who wasn't a terrorist on that flight or a gangbanger. His name is Kilmer Garcia. He's a Marylander married to a U.S. citizen who has a five-year-old son with autism. And he went to pick up his son, but he was picked up first by ICE. And then he was shackled and put on that airplane and shipped off to the torturers of El Salvador. I call on my colleagues right now to call off the campaign to impeach federal judges for doing their jobs. I call on them to demand that the Trump administration comply with all judicial orders while appealing whichever ones they want to appeal, and to demand the return of people unlawfully taken to El Salvador on that so-called plane full of gangbangers.
Maryland father with an autistic son. That's weird. I almost feel like there was more to that story. Caroline Levitt, was there more to that story?
The error that you are referring to was a clerical error. It was an administrative error. The administration maintains the position that this individual who was deported to El Salvador and will not be returning to our country was a member of the brutal and vicious MS-13 gang. That is fact number one. Fact number two, we also have credible intelligence proving that this individual was involved in human trafficking. In fact number three, this individual was a member, actually a leader, of the brutal MS-13 gang, which this president has designated as a foreign terrorist organization. Fact number four is that foreign terrorists do not have legal protections in the United States of America anymore.
Marilyn Father, a non-citizen, not an American citizen, MS-13 gang leader. And I have watched in recent days a significant portion, not the left, we know what the demons want, a significant portion of the right said, well, I mean, maybe we do need more due process. We can't risk this. We can't even get through the gang members. We can't even get through deportation of the gang members without the rights. Well, guys, I actually, hold on a minute. Let me study the Constitution. I'm not really... I don't know what you want me to say. Can't save the country like this. The barbarians must go. All 20 million. And that's a good start because there were about 30, 40 million here before Joe Biden took over. We have so much work to do. And if we're going to stop and stall and have to justify ourselves every time there's a little snafu here or there, well, we can't defeat people like this.
Even if you tell me and you prove that they're gang members, I'm not so sure that I'm okay with them being sent off to be tortured in a foreign country, but I'll leave that aside.
They have a mission. They are executing the mission. They are not concerned with the law, precedent, the Constitution. They're not concerned with anything but power and burning down the country. If we are going to handcuff ourselves when they are cuff-free, doesn't matter how many Trumps get elected, we've already lost. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, let's talk tariffs. I know that's on everybody's mind today. Tariff this, tariff that. I love them. I hate them. Their opinions all over the place. John Carney, he's always here to talk economics. I don't know why I couldn't say that word. Let's talk to John in a moment. Before we talk to John, let me talk to you about feeling good, full of pep and energy all the time. Isn't it the worst when you feel tired? When that yawn, first yawn hits, isn't it the worst? Especially when it's 1, 2 in the afternoon, you're looking at the clock, oh, I can't go to bed for 6 hours. What if you didn't feel like that anymore? You know that chalk will make you feel good. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days with natural herbal supplements. Stop getting needles jammed in your arm and start taking care of things naturally. You're drinking estrogen. It's in the water. It's made us a bunch of low-energy people. Take a male vitality stack from Chalk. Month or two, you'll be a different person. You'll never stop. I love mine. CHOQ.com/JesseTV. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
My fellow Americans, this is Liberation Day, waiting for a long time. April 2nd, 2025 will forever be remembered as the day American industry was reborn, the day America's destiny was reclaimed, and the day that we began to make America wealthy again. Gonna make it wealthy, good and wealthy.
Okay. That was the, do we even call that a press conference? Little speech yesterday from Donald Trump, Liberation Day, as he called it. Joining me now, one of my favorites, John Carney, Breitbart News and Finance and News, Finance and Economics editor. I don't know why I always screw up poor John's title. Okay, John, beyond the opinion portion, which we will get to, what did he actually do yesterday? There's a lot of bunk information out there. What happened?
So he announced that we were putting on two different kinds of tariffs onto the rest of the world. The first is what I'll call a baseline universal tariff, which is 10% tariff. That's what every, it's called like a cover charge. everybody who wants to sell into the US market is going to face a 10% tariff on everything they sell into the US market. Then there is the reciprocal tariffs, which I'll just call the penalty tariffs, which is to say the tariff that if you have been running a trade surplus against the US, so our trade deficit, for a long time, if you have a structural trade deficit, you are going to face a much higher tariff than the 10%. It is going to be keyed off the size of the trade imbalance. So that's what we're doing here. We are putting in place the trade, a tariff that is meant to offset the trade imbalance that already exists.
Okay, let's talk about that whole trade deficit thing, because the opposite of that argument is, well, why do we care about having a trade deficit? It sounds bad, but I buy things from the grocery store. The grocery store doesn't buy things with me. We have a trade deficit, but it works out for both of us. So what's the answer for that?
Well, sure, you have a trade deficit with your grocery store, so do I. But you have a trade surplus with your employer. In other words, you are getting a lot more from your employer than you spend with them. If you were to have run systemic trade deficits with everybody else, you would not have any savings at all. What you would be doing is slowly going broke, maybe quickly going broke, depending on how fast you're running up your deficit. The normal way trade is supposed to work is, sure, you have a trade deficit with some countries or for at some times, and sometimes you have a trade surplus. That's not the way the trade system, the global trading system, has been working. The US is in fact the absorber of the surplus production of everybody else in the world. Most countries sell us much more than we sell to them, and there's not somebody else who's absorbing that excess besides us. So what that means is that we are, like in your example, the guy who doesn't have a trade surplus to offset the trade deficit he's running against the grocery store. It's just deficit all the way down. We're slowly deteriorating our economy. It was basically a managed decline of the US economy. And what Trump announced this week is that that's over. We're not doing it the way we have been doing it. We're changing things so that the system will be more balanced towards the US workers than it has been, frankly, for a few generations since World War II.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent is issuing a little warning to other countries. Here he was.
My advice to every country right now is, do not retaliate. Sit back, take it in. Let's see how it goes, because if you retaliate, there will be escalation. If you don't retaliate, this is the high watermark.
Okay. Well, are they going to retaliate?
So I think some countries will put it to the test, right? You know, this is like we put our chips on the table, we made a bet. Some countries are going to see if we're bluffing, right? So they'll call or they'll raise, and we'll see what happens. I think most countries are going to reasonably conclude that Donald Trump isn't bluffing about trade, that he came out with tariffs that were even higher than people thought they would be. So what does that tell you? It tells you that he's not kidding around here. You really don't want to try to retaliate. I think a lot of countries are going to very quickly say, whoa, 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 we didn't realize we were treating you that bad. We didn't know how serious you were about this. Let us come in, see what we can do. We'll try to set this right. We're already hearing, in fact, that trade ministers around the world are in touch with Washington, D.C., Vietnam. They came out of this with a very high tariff, saying, let us come in, let's fix this. We think we can repair this. So I don't think we're going to get retaliation. I think we're going to get cooperation.
Okay, speaking of Vietnam, we'll make it about them, because they already said they're going to cooperate. And it's not that I'm emotionally invested in Vietnam or their economy at all, but if they're going to cooperate, that means on some level they're going to bring in less money. Are we concerned at all about other nations going into the toilet economically because they're trying to accommodate us?
I actually don't think so. A lot of these things that are going on in these countries benefit a small segment of their country, but not their entire country. So in other words, they benefit the special interests in their country who, like, let's say, own the manufacture, the Chinese owners of manufacturing plants in Vietnam, or frankly, Nike may benefit a lot, but they actually are helped by wage suppression in their country. One of the ways a country like Vietnam can fix this is by increasing the incomes of its own workers, allowing more of the share of their GDP to go to their workers. That will create more demand for stuff from the US. It'll make the Vietnamese people better off and create more demand for US stuff. Trade wars really are class wars. They are the elites of countries all around the world cooperating with each other to make each other rich. I think we can enrich US workers while also helping the Vietnamese workers.
John, most Americans don't work in factories. Now, everybody who watches this show knows I am very much pro-factory, pro-manufacturing, pro-American, but most Americans, when it comes to their economic interests, are worried about the cost of goods and services. That's just most Sure. people buy things and they want those prices to go back down in some way to what they used to be, because you can't afford a daggone thing anymore. Does this help? When will it help? When do we see prices come down is what I'm asking.
So I do think it will help on a longer term basis, not immediately. I do think there will be some price increases. I don't think they're going to be that much. I don't think they're going to, we won't see anything like what we saw during the Biden years, where inflation got up to 9%. But I do think we'll see a half point of extra inflation. I don't think that lasts. So in other words, we'll get a one-time price hike in some things subject to tariffs, but only part of the tariff will get passed through to consumers. And once that comes through, you won't get year after year after year of price hikes. So I think we'll have a one-time adjustment. But further on down the road, as we are producing more goods and services more efficiently in the United States, when production is not being captured by the inefficient communist industrial policy of Beijing or the inefficient policies of Berlin, frankly, it's not just the communists in China, it is the socialist and protectionist, mercantilist, predatory class in Europe that is also doing this. When we are able to move trade away from where they have located it into places where stuff could actually be efficiently produced, I think we're actually going to see cheap goods, more reliable production, more reliable supply chains. The next time we have some kind of catastrophe, whether it's a war or a pandemic, we won't be facing the shortages of things that, like, remember there was a period where we couldn't even make cars in the United States because we didn't make microchips here. That era is coming to an end. We're going to be safer and more secure economically because of what we're doing today.
How about that? I feel better already. Thank you, John. John, come back soon. I appreciate you, sir. All right. Talk to Tudor Dixon next. Is she going to be a governor? I don't know. Before we talk to Tudor, let me talk to you about getting a good night's sleep. I wonder if Tudor slept well. I'm going to ask her. No, that'd be weird. Anyway, I slept well. I sleep well all the time because of Dream Powder from Beam. I don't like drugs. Everyone knows that. Medications, things like that. I do not like them. I don't want them in my body. So when I need something to sleep, what do? Dream Powder. I have a cup of hot chocolate. Only it has Dream Powder in it, you see. It's delicious. Mine's cinnamon chocolate. And it has things like melatonin and magnesium. But it has all these natural things in it. What that does is, yes, it puts me to sleep. But when I wake, I don't feel heavy and groggy with that medication hangover. You know what you get. No, I feel good, ready to go. That's what Dream Powder can do for you. Want to try it? Up to 40% off at shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
I have watched my entire life, I have watched plant after plant after plant in Detroit and in the Metro Detroit area close. There are now plants sitting idle. There are now plants that are underutilized. And Donald Trump's policies are going to bring product back into those underutilized plants. There's going to be new investment. There's going to be new plants built. And the UAW members, and I brought 20 of them with me, they're sitting right over here. We support Donald Trump's policies on tariffs 100%. So, Mr. President, we can't thank you enough. And in 6 months or a year, we're going to begin to see the benefits. I can't wait to see what's happening 3 or 4 years down the road.
Never thought I'd see the day. Big old group of UAW workers cheering on a Republican. Joining me now, another Republican, host of the Tudor Dixon podcast. Her name is Tudor Dixon, and I guess potentially she might be governor again or something like that. Or anyway, Tudor, UAW cheering on Donald Trump? Somebody pinch me.
Yeah, I know, but they are looking for jobs in the state of Michigan. I mean, that's Brian, and he's from the state of Michigan, and he sees what's happening here. And when you hear the mainstream media ripping on these tariffs, you have to understand, in this state, we haven't seen an auto plant built in years. We have seen too many close, and we pay many, many millions of dollars to make sure that the auto industry stays open and stays here in the United States from our taxpayer dollars right here in the state of Michigan. Under the promise of getting jobs, which we have not received, all of these incentives that we're paying haven't brought jobs to the state. So when Brian Pannebecker talks about this, this is from his heart. This is from the auto workers who want to have jobs here. And this is from generations of auto workers who would like to see their children working in the state of Michigan.
Tudor, you are there, obviously, in Michigan. Why haven't we seen a plant? What is it? Because that's crazy. I mean, auto plants are part of what built this country.
I think probably every automaker that has ever come to the state of Michigan will tell you it's because of regulation taking too long to build. So you heard Brian say, in 6 months to a year, we're going to hear changes. And my heart just kind of sank because I thought, if we continue on the path that we're on with the regulations that we have in the state of Michigan, it won't be here because we can't get the permits in time. And that's simply the biggest barrier, is getting through the bureaucracy of government. And then you have some other factors, which are energy security here in the state of Michigan, with a governor who's saying we're going to be 100% renewable energy by 2035. Energy security and overregulation is just too challenging. The barriers to enter business in the state of Michigan are too challenging right now with this Democrat government and state.
Talk to me about this energy security. It's such a wild thing when we have so much coal and natural gas, and we have endless amounts of energy in this country. Why would that be a struggle for any U.S. state?
Well, when you have a governor who's trying to shut down the traditional sources of energy, when they say they don't want any energy coming from oil, which we know that's coming from oil. We know that the electricity that they put into their cars are coming from coal. I mean, but they want that all to be shut down. So they want to use electricity, but they don't understand the sources of where electricity comes from. In the state of Michigan, you also have a radical attorney general who is trying to close down one of our pipelines. You know, the Democrats hate a pipeline. So they're trying to shut down the pipeline that runs through Canada into the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and then into the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. They want to shut that down, and that would not only be our energy sources, but our propane sources for the UP, for all of the 60% of people that heat their homes with propane. The Democrats are trying to get that shut down as well. So when you have that policy out there, when you know as a business owner or a CEO, when you know that the policies of that state are to go after businesses and to go after energy, it makes you much more reticent about coming into the state when you can go to Indiana and you can go to Ohio and you know you're comfortable with the policies there and that the energy is going to be not only available, but continuously available. We had a storm a couple of days ago in Michigan, and I think we have still about 100,000 people out of power in the state.
Oh, jeez, a couple days ago. That's so ridiculous. Tudor, you have a background in steel. Is this going to help the steel industry?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when people don't understand the importance of steel, they don't necessarily understand the importance of these tariffs. So I was in the steel foundry industry and then the steel forging industry, where I worked out of a major steel mill in the Midwest. The foundry industry has almost closed across the country. I mean, our foundry closed in 2013. Under Obama, more foundries closed than ever before in the United States. And what you're making in a steel foundry are it's military equipment, it's farming equipment, it's construction equipment, it's mining equipment, everything that makes the world go round. And so when people don't understand the importance of having that ability to manufacture that in the United States, they may not understand the importance of these tariffs. But if you think about the fact that you may not have these abilities, you may not be able to make your own farm equipment, you may not be able to make your own truck frames, you may not be able to make your own railroad frames, and you may not be able to make your own military equipment. Suddenly you're relying on China for that. Imagine the dangers of China suddenly shutting off our steel supply, and we are no longer capable of taking care of our own fields, protecting our country. The national security implications of not being able to make our own steel are significant. And I think we're now down to about 3 universities in the entire country that even offer a metallurgical degree, because so many of our metal factories have closed that they don't even see it as necessary anymore. Imagine not even knowing the recipes to make the appropriate metals to make sure our country is safe. It's crazy, and it's something only the Trump administration has really looked into.
Tudor, how's the Mexican food in Michigan? I can't see it being very good. It's just too far from the border.
I live on the west side, and so it's a little bit of an exotic food desert here, I will say. But we do love anything that we can, any restaurants we can get to come into the state of Michigan, because Gretchen Whitmer closed over 3,000 of them. So it is a little rough. I can't even comment on that.
I think that tells you everything you need to know about Michigan Mexican food, that Tudor Dixon just referred to it as exotic. I think I'll just stay right down here in Texas. Speaking of Michigan, Tudor, you have a, can I call it cryptic? Something out there about you might be running for office. Maybe it's going to be senator. Maybe it's going to be governor. Are we going to see another hot off for the governor's race or something? What's happening?
I'm definitely looking at both of those races right now. The state of Michigan, as we just talked about, the state of Michigan definitely needs to restructure and get rid of all these regulations. I know Jocelyn Benson has already announced in the governor's race. The lieutenant governor, Garland Gilchrist, has announced on the Democrat side. Both of those people would be total radicals. I mean, Garland Gilchrist has been by the side of Gretchen Whitmer this whole time and run the state into the ground. We're 41st in the nation in almost every category, including education, which is a disaster for our future. Jocelyn Benson, she's the Secretary of State that allowed the Chinese national to vote in our election and didn't do anything about it. She's just launched a new Secretary of State website that's pretty much crashed the whole state. Both of these people would be a disaster. So I'm certainly very interested in making sure that we get our state back on track.
Why senator? You know how bad it would suck to be a senator, Tudor. It would be horrible. All those committee meetings would be horrible. It would be awful.
The opportunity to enact Donald Trump's agenda in this country would be unbelievable, and I would absolutely jump at the chance to be able to support this wonderful president that we have.
See, that's why you do it and I don't. You're about helping people. I'm only about me. Tudor, thank
well,
you. I appreciate
true.
It. All right. You know what? I love my cell phone company. Makes me feel good. It makes me feel good to be part of Pure Talk. That's the truth. It makes me feel good because I believe in putting my money where my morals are. We talk about this all the time, about the movies you go see or don't go see. We talk about what to avoid a lot, and that's good. We have to do that. We don't want to send our money to companies who crap on our country. Who do you support, though? Where does your money go? Verizon hates you. They hate your values. They've done everything they can with your money to dump on this country. AT&T, T-Mobile, well, these companies are awful. Pure Talk is wonderful. They support America, veterans. They hire Americans. They were doing that before Trump got elected. They were doing that before it was cool. Switch to Pure Talk. Your bill will go down. They're on the same network. There's no reason not to switch, and I know that's a double negative. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
I got to know, I said to Dr. Morris, or Governor Morrissey, the first time I saw him, I said, "You look like you ate Governor Morrissey." And
and there was a lot of talk about getting healthy again, and I'm very happy that he's invited me to be his personal trainer. I'm going to put him on a really rigorous regimen, and we're going to put him on a carnivore diet. We're going to make him do, raise your hand if you want Governor Morrissey to do a public weigh-in once a month. And then when he's lost 30 pounds, I'm going to come back to the state and do a celebration and a public weigh-in with him.
I have grave concerns about all this. Joining me now, great governor from the state of West Virginia, Governor Patrick Morrissey, former state attorney general. Governor, I'm very, very happy you're getting healthy and losing weight and doing all those things. My concern is, are you going to become a diet guy? Because every single person who starts diet, they have to tell everybody about the diet. They have to bother everyone. If someone goes carnivore, you can pick up a piece of bread. You're getting lectured about the whole thing. I don't want to be lectured, Governor. Please tell me you're not going to become diet guy.
I am not going to lecture you, but I will say this. I think it's great to go out and do the Mountaineer Mile. We all want to work and get healthy, and I'll be the first one to tell you that I'm sure that I'm going to struggle along the way. I know that in my life, I've not always made the best choices, but I can tell you, at one point in my life, I was a lot more athletic. I used to run a lot, bike a lot, play tennis in college for a few years. And so I think it's good to get back in shape, but you know, I'm not going to be holier than now because I certainly am in no position to do that. But I think that what you saw with RFK, there was a lot of lighthearted banter back and forth. And the truth is that I was joking with him. He was sizing me up like a major renovation project and that he's going to be my personal trainer. And he responded in a fun way. And I'm excited about all the good things that we can do for our state because, unfortunately, we lead the nation in a lot of these terrible categories, and we need to begin to turn it around. So that was the point behind it. But it was a great event, and I'm glad that RFK is taking such a big interest in West Virginia.
Governor, let's actually talk about that, leading the nation in some bad categories when it comes to health. Why is that? Because you hear that a lot, states like West Virginia, states like Mississippi. Certain states just tend to be, and you know, as you know, West Virginia is my old stomping grounds. I say this with all love, unhealthy, less healthy than other states. Is it a exercise thing? Is it a too many Bojangles meals? What is it?
You know, there were a lot of different factors that happened over a long period of time. But I know that a lot of people in West Virginia are disabled, and it could be some from folks who used to work in the mines or manufacturing jobs. There are other reasons in terms of the wellness and the access to healthcare and some of the lack of economic opportunities in there. Usually when you have challenges from an economic perspective, that can obviously tie in to other socioeconomic problems like healthcare. So, but the good news is, while some of the stats today are not what we want, we can change that, and we need to begin changing that. And that's certainly what this is attempting to do, not only through exercise, but looking out, trying to get the crap out of the foods that we eat, trying to make sure that people are healthy, but also purposeful. That's why one of the announcements we made last Friday was about having work requirements for SNAP, and then ensuring that there's no taxpayer subsidy of soda. That's not part of the entitlement under SNAP. So there are a lot of things we can do to get it better. That's what I'm focusing on. But obviously, this has been going on for a while. I just think we're well positioned now to fix it.
Governor, talk about food dyes in the school lunches, because I know that's something you're on too.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that motivates a lot of people, including myself, is that you want to look out for the kids. You want to make sure that they're not eating all the crap that may be in foods. And we know that there are healthy ways that you can put many, many foods together. We've seen this. There have been enough studies talking about the negative effects of some of these dyes, what it does for ADHD, for hyperactivity, and other types of diseases. And so when you can start to clean that up, you're looking out for the kids. So when you change it in the schools, when you start to send a message that you care about what kids eat, that's great. And so I think this is the first place that it's starting. And in West Virginia, we're getting on that quickly. Separately, then we know that we expect that the broader changes to dyes will take a few years as other states step up, and then the feds ultimately probably come up with one federal standard, which probably makes the best sense in terms of how the supply channel operates.
Talk about some other things you've been doing as governor as it pertains to DEI, illegal immigration. You're in the big chair now. You were AG last time we talked, not that that's a small position at all, well, but now that you're governor, absolutely, you have even more authority.
Look, it's kind of cool. So there was a lot of low-hanging fruit here when I arrived that we had the opportunity on day one to say there'll be no DEI within state government. And we immediately learned that there were still DEI that was going on. And so we've been making progress through our executive order in cleaning that up. So that's certainly very, very positive. And then we issued a series of executive orders on day one trying to unleash what we call the economic backyard brawl between West Virginia and all the states that we touch. We're looking for waste within our state agencies, and then we're doing comparisons in terms of regulations, in terms of the tax code, workforce rules, licensing rules. There's a new bill that's coming to my desk. It's a universal licensing bill. You know, it's really cool about that. In West Virginia now, if you're listening to it, it's so easy to get an occupational license, because if you have one in another state, we're going to supercharge it. You come in here, we'll get you to work right away. And that's going to help lure people to West Virginia. So we're really focused on economic development, but also we look out for common sense conservative values. We were able to pass, and I was able to sign, the Riley Gaines law. That's a great piece of legislation showing that there are distinctions between men and women, not just for ensuring that men don't play sports with women, but that women's safe spaces and locker rooms, and if they're in other locations, that they're not vulnerable to these men coming in and trampling all over them. I think that these are a lot of good bills that we're getting done. And then on the executive side, we're going to make sure that we're right-sizing, repurposing government, and this is going to be something good to watch. A lot of low-hanging fruit, things we could do to really transform West Virginia and really help our people shine.
Governor, I can't let you go without asking about April 2nd, which was yesterday, obviously, tariff day, the tariff announced by the Trump administration. What are you anticipating that means for states like West Virginia? Is this good thing, bad things in the short term, good things in the long term? What's coming for people?
Look, I think that this, like anything, is going to evolve, and we see that there have been changes as quickly as the administration's announcing it. You see other countries announcing responses. So I think the key thing is whatever happens, I think people are excited to get it happening quickly and lock in so that you can have some predictability and certainty in the markets. But I think that's, we're watching and waiting. Look, you know, I'm a big fan of the Trump administration, and so I want them to be very, very successful. We're obviously watching all the impact of what's going on. But I will tell you this, President Trump, so many of his actions, he's been aggressive and proactive from day one. I praise a lot of the things that he's doing, and I know that we're excited to work with him because he inherited a big mess, and he's going to fix it up. He's dealing with the economic challenges. He's dealing with the bloated federal government. I'm working on some of the same kinds of things out of West Virginia, so I'm excited to partner with him. We're going to watch and see what happens in this other area because I want to make sure that we're able to continue to grow as a state economically. I think we certainly will under Donald Trump's leadership.
Governor, appreciate you very much. Best of luck on the diet, as long as we don't have to hear about it. Appreciate you. Lighten the mood. Next. All right, it is time to lighten the mood, and chicken wings lighten my mood. I love me some chicken wings. And I'm not even a purist. I like bone-in chicken wings. All right? I prefer the flats over the drums, but I'm okay with the drums. I'll eat boneless wings. I'll go crazy. I'm a chicken fan. And everybody knows that chicken wings have to be dipped in something, okay? And it's not that the wing itself isn't good. I'm not saying that. If you have a delicious buffalo wing sitting there with a good buffalo sauce with the right amount of heat and right amount of tang. I know that. I know that it's good in and of itself, but you could always use an improvement, right? Everything could use an improvement. That's why women wear makeup. I had a conversation with one of my radio producers, Corey, about chicken wings. Here's how it went.
Now, everybody knows that wings, they need to be dipped in something. Ranch, blue cheese. It's the mixture of both flavors. It's a party in your mouth, right? That's the essence of it. Corey walks out without touching the bag of dips. And me, you know, Mr. Nice, I said something. I don't know. I'm paraphrasing. Corey, could I bring you a dip or something like that you could dip your wings in? I think that's how I put it. It was something close to that. And Corey then informed me that this psychopath doesn't eat his wings dipping them in anything at all. Nothing. It's deranged. Chris, why are you defending him? What, Corey? Defend yourself first, Corey. What? Defend yourself, please. The buffalo is not the sauce. The buffalo is one of the two sauces. The dip is so you get a yin and yang. You get a white creamy sauce of some kind, a tangy sauce mixed with the buffalo sauce. They cut through. You seriously never have ranch or blue cheese with your wings? And you think this is normal? Don't tell me I'm the only person that's ever pointed this out to you, that that's weird and abnormal. Producer Corey said, it sounds like I can't handle the heat. It's not a manliness thing, okay? I can handle the heat. And by the way, this from the guy who ordered medium wings. Maybe you forgot who put in the order. I can't handle the heat, but Corey got the freaking children's wings. Medium wings. That's for kindergarten class.
Said what I said. I'll see you.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.